Does this give you anxiety?
You thought I was jo- Oh, wait, hold on, hold on.
Oh my God, put that away! Oh, my microphone. Oh my God.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Katie Nolan. My email inbox numbers are giving me that anxiety. I'm just trying to throw her off her game so I can be the star of today's show. That's Mina Kimes, Pablo Torre. What do we look?
You see
this
that
is
number?
Not the most efficient way to do this.
No.
115,512.
Look how shaky he is.
What is wrong with you two?
Did the Bucks figure something out by having Giannis shoot zero threes?
It isn't comfortable for me to have to sit next to somebody going through something. I had to do it yesterday with Pablo. I feel like I might have to do it today with Mina because the Bucks wire-to-wire win last night. Behind the big three we've all been talking about in this series, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like Charlie said, Giannis didn't shoot any threes. 11 of his 12 field goals came from in the paint. He was attacking the net. He was being aggressive, which felt like a smart strategy given the fact that Kevin Durant had to put the whole team on his back a couple games ago, one game ago. Harden is injured and rehabilitating. He obviously participated in the game a lot more, made more of a difference than he did in the last game, but he's obviously recovering from this injury, and so I think it made a lot of logical sense. I'm dying to know how Mina feels, if she's confident.
She's or not if she's frowning enough.
She doesn't
I
look
don't know why she
as
is not
broken.
More hurt by this, because she should feel broken. I agree.
I agree, and so Mina, how are you feeling about the Nets?
I feel fine about last night. I didn't expect the Nets to win, given that in the prior game, Kevin Durant played the entire game and Jeff Green went, you know, 7 for 8 from three. This I had already chalked up as an L. And as far as the strategy goes, clearly it was the right one, given that Milwaukee outscored Brooklyn, I believe, 26-4 in transition. Like, when you're watching Giannis and rooting against him, anytime he pulls up for three or two, if we're being honest, instead of going downhill, is an immense relief. It is like a bad guy showing up in a movie who's really intimidating and scary, and then he pulls out a switch play, and you're like, you know what? I might be able to survive the switchblade. Last night, Giannis did not go to the switchblade, and it did not end well for the Nets. Now the question turns to Game 7 on Saturday. If he does this again, and I anticipate he will, how do the Nets respond? I don't think they can defend it. To me, the only way they beat Milwaukee is with better offense. Joe Harris needs to make more than one three. Oof. Kevin Durant needs help from his role players. Otherwise, the Bucks will win.
Yeah, I just like the fact that the Philadelphia 76ers led in the game last night as often as the Brooklyn Nets did. That's just a funny fact that is true. Literally 0 seconds the Nets had the lead in this game. So let's talk about why Giannis was even shooting threes ever in the first place. Because some of this, yes, of course, is because the Nets were daring him to do so, right? They dropped on defense, give him all the space in the world. All of that is super tempting and hard to refuse. But the other reason why he was shooting jumpers, and it's not just threes, it's jump shots in general, is because we do this thing in the NBA and sports media where you see a 7-foot-tall dude who is wildly talented at specific things, and now we say, you also need to shoot jump shots. They should not be shooting jump shots. They do not need to shoot jump shots because that's not what they do well. And so Giannis internalized that, got fooled into thinking that that's how he becomes great, and finally has realized he just needs to be aggressive and attack the basket. That is a piece of advice that I would say is generalizable to all sorts of unicorns in this league that may or may not fall under those descriptions that I just gave you that I'll probably not specifically name right now, but yes, that would be very helpful for anybody who gets made fun of for not shooting.
Is this
guess
Ben
what?
Simmons Apologia?
Yes. Shoot.
Yes.
You just don't
yes.
need to shoot. You need to be aggressive and attack the rim. That's what you got to do. And he did that. Congratulations, Giannis, and all those who take that advice.
The Ben Simmons Giannis comparison you just made in a very tortured fashion is not flattering to Ben Simmons, because while Giannis is better when he doesn't shoot, he can actually shoot, Pablo. Like, it's not optimal for Giannis to pull up, but at times the ball goes in the basket, unlike one Ben Simmons. The only thing that Ben Simmons has over Giannis is that when he bricks free throws, he does it quickly.
Yes.
James Harden, like many of us, was frustrated last night.
The free throw line, as well as his free throw shooting proficiency, as the fans.
I could take a shower, get dressed, do my makeup.
See, I think this takes so long.
Yes, Doris.
Like, he's
yes.
new team. And
thank you, Doris.
Interestingly, watching him.
Speaking for the people.
Look at how annoying
he is. He doesn't do it consistently. Sometimes it's five dribbles. Sometimes it's six. There's the Brooklyn crowd counting out the seconds.
I don't think he was the holdup that time. Official Courtney Kirkland appeared to be waiting for something. I'm not sure it was Giannis.
They wait for him to pantomime.
I mean, if you're going to make us wait that long, it should go in. Make sure it goes in.
Yeah, I agree. If you're going to make us wait 18 minutes later to start the show today, maybe you shouldn't contradict your point about whether shooting is good to attack a player that, by the way, I never mentioned by name.
Why you're doing behind the scenes.
Was it Bill? Was it Brian Simmons? Is
behind
that who you mentioned? I don't even know who you're talking about.
So
on air.
For those, I was late today, but Pablo Torre calling out me for being late once. Just once. The notoriously late
Pablo's
Pablo
late
Torre
every day.
Is,
Pablo's so honestly, late that I, the latest person on earth, know that Pablo's late because I show up before Pablo.
Yes, it is James Harden complaining about someone else's.
How did we end up talking about Pablo again? There's so much basketball to talk about.
I mean, it feels like you guys did this to yourselves.
Oh my God, it feels that way over here as well.
Is it a problem for the NBA that the Mavs and Pelicans already have to worry about losing Luka and Zion?
I mean, it's such a long question, which just goes to show there's a lot of information here circulating around New Orleans and also Dallas. A lot of reporting from The Athletic around Dallas. Rick Carlisle, who was the third longest tenured coach in the NBA, is now out. That's after Donnie Nelson, the president of basketball operations, is out. And there were rumors and reports of Luka not getting along with Carlisle. And also there's Mark Cuban having that guy who tells him what to do. What's his name? Vulgaris.
Bob Vulgaris.
So there's this kind of mess going on, and Luka being unhappy, and then over in New Orleans, there's Zion being unhappy. Van Gundy's out. He's on his rookie deal, so he's still in their control in 3 years. Luka has the potential to get the qualifying offer, and then could potentially, if all things fall into the right place, be a free agent. There, it's a lot going on. I think the overarching theme here that people are discussing is player control. It's something we've been talking about over the last few years, is watching players try to take back control of where they play, who they play with, and what their experience is like in those situations. And I have been an advocate mostly for that, because I think that the league is comprised of the players. And I know, me personally, I don't really root for owners when I watch a basketball game. That's just me.
There is so much information there, Katie. We're talking about two parallel soap operas that also are warning signs to the rest of the NBA, because in the NBA, having a generational superstar on a rookie contract is the most valuable thing you could have. It's the most valuable single entity in all of sports. That's why everybody's freaking out about this. Historically, the ways you control those players, well, number one, you get to offer them more money if they stay as a rookie, sign them to a max deal, you get like $18 million more. Well, all of these guys have other income streams now. Maybe that matters less. Guys are terrified about that. The other thing was shame. These guys would be terrified to become villains. Well, guess what happens now? All of these young people in America and the world, really, they follow individuals as much, if not more so, increasingly than the teams themselves. So as much as we are rooting for players and not owners, that is a problem for the NBA, the business model. And so what I find extra fascinating about all of this is that these soap operas, everybody is recognizing this. So you have head coaches, assistant coaches, advisors, everybody is realizing the thing they need to do is get in close with and cater to that superstar, Zion, Luka, all of these like musical chairs that we're watching play out. It's because people are trying to save their own butts with that recognition. And so is it a problem for the NBA? Macro, I think it is, but I have no idea how you stop it, because this is how the game is structured on the floor and in the front office.
Yeah, I think with the player empowerment or player control debate, it is important to recognize it's not just about players and owners. there are also fans who rightfully want their teams, in particular small market teams, to hold on to these guys, especially in this case, fans of Dallas and fans of New Orleans are bummed considering the possibility that these generational stars might leave them. And that's not an irrational concern. I do think it's important not to generalize, though, because while, yes, there is a bit of a slippery slope effect, and this does seem to be happening more and more, these are unique situations. Like, if you read about Dallas, there are problems in that organization. Yes. I still think Luka is going to inevitably sign the Supermax, rendering all of this moot. But clearly, this is a team that needs to be fixed. New Orleans, Anthony Davis left a few years ago, forced his way out. Zion potentially could be doing the same. That's a team that also has major problems. They had problems with Anthony Davis that wasn't particularly well managed them, and Zion could be looking, you know, he is looking at his third coach in as many years. At some point, you got to say, hey, it's you. Like, these guys are leaving. It's you. Sometimes you got to look inward, New Orleans. So I just want to dial back on the, you know, oh my gosh, there's this wave of player control, the paranoia that's sweeping the league, and consider, or at least bring up the possibility that these are particular teams that are particularly poorly run, and that might be why these stars want to leave.
It might be you, like Mina said, it might be you. And just keep in mind who the narrative benefits when it's like, oh no, they're all so needy. To parallel to other situations and maybe
yeah,
other
are
people's
we, are we, are we, we're talking about basketball here. Yeah.
Up next on HQ.
What was your leg kick inspiration?
Well,
it felt like you put a lot of energy into that.
I wanted to be theatrical.
The rest of it.
Oh, I just gave away that I'm wearing sweatpants. I wanted to be theatrical, and I wanted it to be, you know, funny, and it was. So, mission accomplished.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by Ratchet & Clank. Rift Apart. Rated everyone 10 and up. Highly Questionable is brought to you by Heineken. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Do you question if this security guard is good at his job?
The Euros, soccer, NHL's in the playoffs. Soccer. Tomorrow, Portugal's playing Germany. That's one of the big games coming up. But Portugal has a security guard that's making some questionable decisions.
So there's Ronaldo.
I mean,
in his defense, Ronaldo is wearing a mask.
Yeah, I guess.
In his discredit, the rest of Ronaldo's body is
still
unlike
there.
Any other human body
Tell
on
me more.
The planet.
In what ways?
Have we considered? It's possible. Maybe he's only seen the, you know, the famous Ronaldo statue. And so in real life, he was like,
boy, really glad we had that queued up.
Yeah. So maybe he's like, well, who's this guy? I know Ronaldo. I've seen his face in bronze.
That
I don't know
looks,
who this handsome devil is.
Nothing like him. Look, the guy has a job to do, and I respect that. You've got to check all the passes. But, like, he better hope that nobody gets through that wasn't supposed to get through, because if you're checking Ronaldo's credentials and then some random dude ends up in there, it's like, you, what's up?
But here's the other thing with Ronaldo, who is otherwise, like, the most confident man on the planet. Like, the number one rule to getting into anywhere that you should or shouldn't be, you just walk through confidently, man. You look like you belong there. Like, that is the psychology of that. As somebody who has used so many hotel bathrooms that I did not at all pay money to stay inside of, it is
a grifter,
essential.
Abusing the system.
Do you think Ronaldo is one of those people who gets told you look better in real life? You know, which is always like debatable whether it's a compliment or not when someone says that, oh, you're so much like prettier or more handsome in person. Is that a compliment? Okay, settle this debate.
Decide if it's a compliment.
So much.
It's not a compliment.
I get you're so much taller in real life. And I'm like, are you measuring me through this
Guys,
box?
I think
here?
You gotta always, if there's an option, if somebody opens the door for you to take something they're saying as a compliment, always kick that open.
Do you question if Josh Allen threw an impressive first pitch?
Ooh, Mina. This is the video Mina's been waiting for, I guess. Josh Allen threw out a first pitch. Blue Jays, Yankees. He's got a cannon. Let's take a look. Woo!
Okay.
No, that hit the dirt.
The catcher spotted it well.
Yeah, that hit the dirt.
Okay, he threw it out from the mound. Throwing it out from the mound is an experience. You know, real ones throw their first pitch out from the mound. But it is. Oh, shoot. I didn't think we were going to. Wow. All right. So if we have to replay this. What happened was I overthought it so much that I look like the girl on my softball team in high school when I was like, she doesn't know how to throw a ball. I just kind of pushed
it. You were on a softball team?
Yeah, and I was really good, okay? I let the nerves of the moment get to me.
Can we see that pitch again?
No, we can't. Please stop. No, it's so bad.
The Jumbotron in the background helps accentuate how humiliating this whole experience was. What was your leg kick inspiration?
Well,
I felt like you put a lot of energy into that.
I wanted to be theatrical.
The rest of it.
Oh, I just gave away that I'm wearing sweatpants. I wanted to be theatrical, and I wanted it to be, you know, funny, and it was. So, mission accomplished. Anyway, back to Josh Allen.
Did you get to keep the baseball?
I didn't.
Like, where is that baseball now?
I didn't even keep the memories of the event. I deleted them immediately.
Well, luckily, this will
Josh Allen
forever.
What do we think about? Are we gonna?
She didn't keep the baseball because they couldn't find it, Pablo.
It was in the glove. Okay, don't insult the catcher. Whose fault it was, honestly.
Let's protect the catcher's feelings.
Yeah,
sure.
He did his best to frame that one.
You know what? I'm done. I think. Did anyone say Josh Allen's name? Even I don't feel like
that was like a good like a good 5 mile per hour just right worm burner.
It was a minor league game.
You know what it looked like actually when I'm sitting on my couch and trying to watch TV, and Lenny wants me to play fetch, and I don't want to play fetch, so you know I'll just take this tissue, and I'm just like, yeah, dude, whatever, go get it. And he gets excited and he'll go after it because he'll take anything, but I'm actually not really focused on throwing
the joke's
ball.
On you. Kids these days don't like when you try hard, and I didn't, so I win.
Tonight on ESPN, Game 6, 76ers and Hawks.
Oh my God, of course I'm very intrigued. I'm going to be texting Pablo the whole time, and I'm going
to
be seeing how he's feeling mentally. And just to prep you for the game, Pablo, as like a warm-up, I think we put together a highlight reel of your favorite player.
I'm sure this will be
Game 5.
Very representative. Okay.
I mean, it's not representative because it's just one game's worth of misses. If it was representative of his misses, it would take up the entire show.
You know what, Pablo? If I could give you a bit of something to make you feel better, they do look like they want to go in. The balls look like they're thinking about it. And so let's make him wait. Mina, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued. And I wish we could have like a little camera on Pablo just watching the free throws. Do you watch them, Pablo, or do you look away? Tell us the truth.
The truth is that this is why people don't trust the mainstream media.
What?
Because if you watch that montage in the bottom right-hand or left-hand corner, you could see what quarter it was.
Right-hand.
Guess how many free throws Ben Simmons attempted in the fourth quarter? 4. Guess how many he made? 2. Guess how many he attempted in the third quarter? 2. Did he miss both of those? Yes. The point is, we're making way too big a deal of these free throws, guys. The game will be decided because he does the thing that I have been telling him to do, that you guys have been convincing him to try and not do, which is don't shoot, just attack the rim, and we'll be good. We'll be just fine.
So are you intrigued or?
Yes.
Okay. All right, that's it. Not only for Highly Questionable, but for your week. You made it. You did it. Congratulations to you. Mina Kimes, you want more of her? The Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny. Pablo has a podcast. It's called ESPN Daily. It's kind of a big deal. Not sure if he'll be there next week, considering just based on what's going to happen in this game.
Why are we putting negativity?
Because it just feels
it's
like you insert yourself in everything you do. So I can't imagine if you're having a bad day, you're going to show up to work. I'm just trying to give the people, having them temper their expectations.
Yeah. Viewers, if the Sixers lose, it's @PabloTorre. Don't email him because he won't see it.